Welcome back to another episode of Speak Up, an Avalon Bay Communities podcast, proudly sponsored by our Women's Leadership Network, or WLN. This show is for Avalon Bay associates, WLN members, and anyone seeking insightful conversations that inspire both personal and professional growth. We invite leaders from all industries, backgrounds, and experience levels to speak up about the real issues shaping our workplace and the world around us. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Speak Up podcast, hosted by Avalon Bay Communities Women's Leadership Network, or WLN, to provide real talk about real issues influencing our industry and broader communities. My name is Avra Vasav Ward. I'm a manager in our Learning and Development Department.
And I'm Candace Brabacher, Portfolio Operations Director in the Mid-Atlantic.
And we're thrilled to be with you here today for a special live recording in celebration of Women's History Month. This year, WLN's theme is Shaping a Sustainable Future, and we're exploring what that means not just for our planet, but for our people, our communities, and our industry. Today's conversation is going to bring that theme to life in a powerful way.
Absolutely. And we're joined by Gautami Planki, VP of Sustainability. Gautami leads our efforts to build a more sustainable future across our portfolio, and her team's efforts influence everything from how we design and operate our communities to how we think about our environmental impact in the long term. She's at the forefront of some of the most critical challenges and opportunities facing our industry, and I can't wait to hear her insights on what it takes to make a meaningful change. Women's History Month reminds us that progress doesn't happen by accident. It's shaped by leaders who see what's possible and have the courage to make it real. So let's dive in and talk about what it means to shape a sustainable future and the leadership it takes to get there. Welcome, Gautami.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
We're excited to ask you some very impactful questions. So we're going to dive right in. Walk us through your path to sustainability leadership. Was there a specific moment when you knew this was the work you wanted to do?
I really wish there was a bright spark and a bulb went off in my head when I could say this is the moment, but it was definitely more gradual than that. I think over time, I realized that sustainability is really about health, and that's what excited me about it. So in early stages of my career, I focused on architecture, different systems, environmental systems, energy, water, climate. And over time, I realized that they're nested. They're not separate. The built environment really uses these resources, and they're nested within each other. And so where we live, where we work, has a significant impact on our health, because it contributes to, you know, how we walk and get around, whether we go to a park, how long our commute is. And so our stress, comfort, sleep are all interrelated. And that's how I think about sustainability as fundamentally being about health.
That's awesome. And it makes it a lot more relatable to a wider group. So you joined Avalon Bay a few months ago. What drew you here? And how are you thinking about where Avalon Bay is going as it pertains to sustainability?
Having been in this industry, sustainable real estate for almost two decades, you can't not hear about Avalon Bay. It's been a leader in the space. It was an early adopter. It still is. And so I think it was very exciting to think about what that opportunity could mean to for me. What excited me about exploring the role was that sustainability is embedded across our platforms. Whether we acquire, whether we develop, whether we operate, sustainability and its relationship to health is very integral to how we think. So that was one of the reasons why, when I was thinking about the outcomes that I wanted to achieve for myself and the purpose that drives me in this work, it was very evident that across 300 plus communities and growing, over 150,000 people live here. And, you know, what we all do together can have an impact on their health outcomes was, is, and will always be very exciting to me. So that's what brought me here.
Yeah, thank you. And we're so glad you're here and with Avalon Bay for sure. And you mentioned that you've been in this field for about two decades. So I'm curious, what's fundamentally changed and what are some things that have stayed the same?
Everything and nothing.
Hey, that's awesome.
What hasn't changed is that sustainability is still about people and behavior change. If there was a silver bullet that could make everything sustainable and green, we would have already done it and this job would no longer exist, which is a great place to be. I would be happy to be in that spot. But unfortunately, we're not there yet. It's still about people and behavior change and wanting to do things differently. What has changed is the urgency. Previously, we would think about concepts like utility cost increase, extreme weather as rare events or infrequent events or in primarily future events. But today, that's not the case anymore. These are real business risks, and managing and adapting to those risks drives real long-term value. So the urgency has not changed.
And I think we were talking about this earlier, but just how sustainable futures and, you know, our current can feel maybe abstract or overwhelming to people. So how do you make it relatable? How do you make it tangible, actionable for someone who maybe doesn't live and breathe this work every day?
Like me?
Yeah.
I think that's where my thought process and perspective shifted from sustainability as this complex systems approach to a health outcome focused approach. Everyone values health. Everyone wants to be healthy. Everyone takes steps in that direction. And so that's where the fundamental shift happened for me personally as well. So when I think about sustainability, I try to think about the everyday that makes me a healthier person or the building I'm building a healthier place to be. So it could be active design within the building. For example, you know, like in our offices, you can walk up and down the steps. That's a healthy activity. Access to nature and outside has health impacts and your circadian rhythm, how you sleep. You know, if you're transit oriented, you take public transit, you walk or bike to work, that has an impact on your health. So when we think about the large scale interconnected global issues related to sustainability and really drill it down to me, my family, my health outcomes, it makes it a little bit more tangible, a little bit more approachable and practical.
Yeah. In some ways, all we can control is ourselves.
Yes.
And our health. So I love that tie into making it relatable and tangible. So thank you for that. Keeping in mind that it's Women's History Month, as a leader in this space, what perspective or approach do you bring that you think matters?
Sustainability is both a marathon and a sprint. It has significant long-term impacts and values, but the only way to make progress is to show measurable, incremental, achievable wins along the way. And I think that's how, you know, a lot of men and women think about their families too, is generational. So when you think about sustainability too, it's generational. You sow the seed and it, you know, keeps growing for a long time. So that's how I really think about it. Is the outcome health-based? Does it drive value? Does it make your life, your work, your product more efficient? And then does it have a generational impact?
Okay, we're going to switch it up and talk a little bit about leadership. You're often building coalitions and navigating trade-offs between environmental goals, business realities, and stakeholder expectations. What have you learned about doing that well?
I'm still learning. I'm still learning along the way. And I think what I've learned so far is transparency and accountability is critical. You are explaining invisible context of sustainability to someone who doesn't think about it on an ongoing basis. And so when you explain the why of something, why a certain initiative matters to both of you through transparency and accountability, the progress you make is significantly more, right? You go further together. And so I think transparency and accountability has been critical, and I value it a lot in everything we do so far, definitely when it reaches us.
And we talked about transparency and accountability in so many different ways, so absolutely, it's so important.
Candace, the other aspect of that is, while those are the principles, I think the value of health is shared language. When we talk about health as an outcome of sustainability, that's understood by everyone and valued by everybody. And so there's an instant recognition of what that could mean in the role you play, the role I play, the role Avro plays, so we can come together more easily.
Absolutely. It's building that connection with all different departments and people and aspects. Love that. So we've talked about how the sustainability field is constantly changing and evolving. As a leader, how has your leadership style and approach changed over time?
I'm trying to be less of a nerd. It's very hard, very late. I think earlier in my career, I focused a lot on technical expertise. Learning it, implementing it, executing on it, and really bringing evidence-based conversations for persuasion or influence. over time, I've realized that, you know, that is a part of me and I've learned it. But today my space is to create more space and clarity. And so while the technical expertise will always be there and be provided in multiple ways through other people as well, when I create space for clarity, it allows for collaboration. And really, to solve for sustainability issues, we need collaboration more than individual expertise.
Absolutely. And we talk about the collaboration piece all the time. And again, with a company like ours at Sovar, so many different departments, so many hands in the pot, bringing them all together in new ways. So what is a corporate perception that has changed for you from when you started your career compared to now?
Earlier on, my perception of professional presence was very narrow. I was coming from a different country. I was coming from a different culture. And I thought fitting in meant dressing a certain way or presenting a certain way or really leading conversations in a certain way. And I had to learn to do a lot of those things very early on. And over time, I've realized that while that was a moment in time, showing up as myself is more authentic, more real, and like really more me. So whether it's my, you know, Indian accent or my Indian jewelry or my Indian outfit, like that's me and that's what makes me the happiest. And it's okay to be, you know, whatever you feel most comfortable in, because then your presence shows in its authentic real self. And so it took me a while. I think I'm still learning what that means, but it's significantly more me than it was when I started my career.
That's amazing to hear, because I mean, hopefully in the few months that you've been here, you've noticed that we are very big on that in our culture and showing up as your true self. So that's awesome. So much of sustainability is about creating impact you may never see the full results of, but will have lasting impacts for future generations, like we talked about. How does that shape how you think about your work and the idea of legacy?
This is such a beautiful question, and I thought a lot about it. I think it's something I will continue to think about, you know, along my journey and growth. Success is really about, not about visibility, but about durability. When I think about it from a sustainability point of view, you want to instill a practice, a process, a procedure, a product that outlives your intent, right? Like you want it to do better than you thought it would. And that's really the legacy of sustainability, of the company, of the brand, the product. So I think about it from a durability point of view. And that translates very well into real estate, right? We're building things that are going to last a long, long time. And we spend so much time, effort, love, joy in building them, in pointing to that building and say, I drew that window. So I think when we think about that from a sustainability point of view, the legacy is really in that it created change, a long-lasting change, a generational change. That's what excites me about our work together.
Everyone in this room and online sees, like, we built that window. We were there for that inspection. We made sure the plumbing worked.
Yeah.
All the things that are going to last years and years to come.
So we're going to shift gears a little bit. We have a lightning round question, but we also have plenty of time. So if you want to expand on your answers, that's okay too. So I am curious, what is one myth or misconception about sustainability that you'd love to just put to rest already?
That sustainability professionals are tree huggers and it's only about the planet. It is about the planet as much as it is about human health, efficiency, and longevity. It's as much about business risk management. And so, yes, there are shades of green. The misconception is that it's only one shade. There are many more. And to me, health is the most prominent outcome from sustainability.
And again, just given that it's Women's History Month, I'm curious if there is a woman who inspires you, and can you tell us more about that?
I wish there were one. I think we're all influenced by the strong women and men in our lives, including, you know, our moms, sisters, our daughters. My daughter in particular has been instrumental in making me look at the world in a different way, more curious, more engaging. Walk to school is taking us 25 minutes, but that's okay. There's a lot to learn along the way. I think over time, I've also really come to appreciate people who build consensus and are really doing the hard work very quietly from where they are. They may not have the spotlight or the limelight on them, but really that's the hard work because they're solving challenges and making progress. So it excites me when I see someone like that in the room, and later we might share chocolate or wine or
yeah. All right. And kind of leading on from that question, just, you know, again, you've been in the industry for a while, you've been in the professional world for a while. What is the biggest piece or pieces of career advice that you have for women maybe earlier on in their career?
I have two, and they're sort of interrelated. You should always be a little bit nervous taking on the next thing that comes your way, because it pushes you to do a lot more. If you know everything about the next thing that you're going to do, you're not pushing yourself fast enough. And related to that, I think what happens is growth comes before confidence. So when you do the thing that you were a little bit nervous to do, you do it and you grow. And then you have the confidence, of course, I could have done it. So give yourself the space and the joy and the little bit of discomfort and nervousness that might come with doing something you don't.
I know a lot of times people talk about imposter syndrome. So I love that you were kind of connecting it and just sharing that nugget of wisdom with us, because I'm going to remember that one for a while. So thank you. The last one's a little bit more fun. So I know we're busy, you're a mom, you know, where you have this job, all these things, right? But you have an hour to yourself. How are you going to spend that time?
A whole hour?
A whole
hour. Interruption.
Yeah. Just for you.
It's so funny that right now I can't think of a whole hour. But recently I found my sketchbook again in my move from Texas to Virginia. And I've started filling it out again. It's nowhere close to the earlier pages, but I think I'll get there. So I'm excited to continue to fill my sketchbook. It's definitely not an hour. I really think it was. But even if it was 15 minutes or 30 minutes, that's something I really enjoy doing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Gautami. We learned a lot. Appreciate all of your inspiring and actionable insights. To learn more about Avalon Bay, please visit us at avaloncommunities.com. And we hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Speak Up. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and found practical inspiration to fuel your own personal and professional journey. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to follow Avalon Bay Communities on social media and subscribe to the show for updates on future episodes. A big thank you to our hosts, guests, Women's Leadership Network members, and to all of you for listening.